It was 1940, and the German Wehrmacht had the British expeditionary and French forces surrounded at Dunkirk on the northern coast of France. The British Navy couldn't rescue them, and they couldn't fight their way out. It looked, frankly, like no one was going to survive, and the war possibly was over. The British and French would be safe if they could just get across the English Channel and out of France, but there was no time or resources to stage an evacuation. A British naval officer sent a three-word telegram to the war offices in London. It simply said, "But if not." Those three words, friends, are taken from a story found in the book of Daniel. Let me share that story with you from Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits and whose width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent for the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers. Let me just add, he was inviting everybody to come. So they all arrived, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them. He said, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trijon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble, you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trijon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Accordingly, at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of all these instruments, they are to fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve our gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up.' Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn and all these other instruments, fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well, and all will be well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up.'" Now, that's a crazy story, isn't it? In fact, that's a scary, crazy story. But it is a story that speaks to people in crazy, scary circumstances, like COVID-19 virus. On the beaches of Dunkirk, those three words sent a powerful message to the people at home. It communicated the true circumstances of the men stranded at Dunkirk. As with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the situation looks hopeless, and we pray God will save us. But if not, we will still be faithful. Now we know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the Dunkirk story. Under the cover of fog and night, small fishing boats, pleasure cruisers, and all manner of small watercraft, piloted by the good people who lived on the English coast, 338,000 men were brought home and saved to fight another day. Now, I want you to listen to the rest of the story in Daniel, the third chapter. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up seven times more than was customary and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames actually killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselor, "Was it not three men that were bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." He replied, "But I see four men unbound walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the fourth has the appearance of a god." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over their bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." The testimony of those three men stepping into Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, that story can loom large in our imaginations, and their words still have the power to inspire and teach us, especially in these days of infectious virus, self-isolating, self-distancing, and frankly, not knowing what really is going to happen. How many people will be infected? How severe will their illness be? How many will die? Will I become sick? How sick will I get? Will I die? What about the markets? Will they rebound? Are we looking at a deep recession, even a depression? We try to look into the coming weeks and months for answers, but they're simply not there. And that can create anxiety, fear, and even panic. Thankfully, God protected those three men from the flames, and the troops at Dunkirk were rescued. But both were prepared to die. They knew we serve a God who is greater than kings and armies, and I'll add, greater than COVID-19. Though the powers of this world and the brokenness of this world threaten us, taunting, in the words of the story, "What God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" We serve, frankly, the God who can save. Now, I want to be clear here. God doesn't promise to save us from the flames at all times, but his promise is to be with us as we walk through the flames. A reality check for me, but also a strong word of comfort and encouragement for me, are these words that come from the prophet Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. These words are comforting to me and I've used them so many times for preaching and in pastoral visits. In Isaiah 43, the prophet speaks, God speaks through the prophet and says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." I love those words. It's God's promise. And the testimony of that text of Scripture and the testimony of the stories of God's people contained throughout Scripture tell us over and over and over again, God is faithful. God is with us, even in the flames of uncertainty, fear, panic, etc. This is why, this God being with us, this is why John Wesley, on his deathbed, spoke these famous words, his last words spoken, saying, "And best of all, God is with us." And friends, with that assurance, we are called to be a but if not people of faith. That is a call to faithfulness. And what does that faithfulness look like in these COVID-19 volatile stock market, recession, depression, crazy days? Well, first, but if not faith means we actively stay close to Jesus. Daily scripture and prayer that we're making available on our website. We can listen to these. You can use your own devotional tools as well. We feed on the good food of Scripture, meditating on Scripture, and prayer to nourish and to orient our minds, our hearts, and lives. That's a daily discipline that is especially needed in these scary COVID virus days. But let me offer another but if not faith response. But if not faith actively seeks to love our neighbors. Methodists have a saying, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Now, many claim that John Wesley said those words. You will not find a Wesley historian who will back that up. But Wesley would agree with that statement. It fits who we are as Methodists who follow Jesus. So, my friends, call your neighbors. Check in on them. Send a text, a tweet, FaceTime with them, Skype with them. And if you can, go outside to converse with them, of course, maintaining appropriate social distancing. I've been trying to go out for walks on a daily basis when the sun is shining, and I make it a point that whenever I pass somebody on the street or the sidewalk, that I wave at them, I smile at them, I greet them. And yes, if needed, I will move to maintain proper social distancing. But I do that because I don't know what kind of day they have had, what kind of day they're going to have, or even what kind of week they're having. I don't know how scared and frightened they are. And I might be the only presence of Jesus that they experience that day. I want to be an ambassador of Jesus to them. We can do that as God's but if not faith people. So let God use you to bless your neighbors with his presence of calm, his word of encouragement, his acts of compassion, and his reminder of faith and faithfulness. These are days in which we are right to be concerned. We're right to take steps to protect ourselves, but not to be driven by fear. Though we don't know what the coming days, weeks, and even months will bring, we do know that we are called to be the but-if-not people of faith. Let me close with this word of prayer. Lord, give us confidence in your words. Forge courage for us in the midst of sometimes scary circumstances. Steel our nerves for long, hard days of quiet faithfulness. Resolve our hearts to follow you in momentous decisions and small choices. Build in us a brave resistance to dominating fear. Then, when the day of testing comes, we can bravely go in the fire and know that whether we live or die, we serve a God like no other, a God who is with us and able to save. In Christ's name, amen. Friends, I'm going to add an addendum to this message. As some of you already know, our daughter Kara and her husband Colson live in Brooklyn, New York. Several days ago, our daughter Kara completely lost her ability to smell and to taste. And we now know from some of the scientific observations of the virus that the loss of smell and taste is an indicator of possible infection. Now, Kara informs us that the New York City medical system is greatly stressed and thin right now. She placed a call to their telecare and finally, after several days, was notified that she would receive a call from a medical person. That call happened and she was told that she probably does have the virus. She is not hospitalized. She has no fever. She's extremely stuffy in the head and has the loss of taste and smell, of course. She's not panicked. Her husband is asymptomatic, for which we're grateful. They are self-isolating, and they're able to work remotely for both of their jobs, and we are grateful for that as well. But obviously, as parents, Gigi and I are very concerned. We are very prayerful, and we're asking that you pray for our daughter, Kara, and her husband, Colson, as well. Please pray for God's peace to surround them and to be evidenced in their conversations and their actions as they are isolated, but as they are communicating through all their social media platforms. We want them to be ambassadors of God's presence and peace and faithfulness in all of their actions and communiques. But we ask you to pray as well for her healing, for her full recovery from this virus. As well, we want to remember all of our neighbors across this great nation and across God's beautiful world. We need to be interceding for all of the medical care workers, all of the frontline first responders, as well, I will say, the grocery workers, the people who are keeping stores open, who are cooking meals and bringing them out to cars as they're picked up, all of these men and women who continue to work and serve and frankly put themselves in harm's way so that we can be cared for. Let's intercede for them with thanksgiving and prayers of God's protection. Let's pray for our science community as they work on treatments and even a vaccine. Give thanks to God for the great science that we have throughout this world and how we can now, through the internet, be so connected in scientific research with laboratories across the world. Pray for God to inspire these great men and women to find treatments and vaccines. Thank you so much, Gigi, and I really appreciate you standing with us in prayer.